This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may we follow Paul's advice. May we boast of nothing but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. The last adult pilgrimage that I led from this church did not start out the way I would have liked. Those of you whom I've had the honor of traveling with on pilgrimage or mission trip know that when it comes time for departure, I go into my former travel director mode and my personality changes a bit. Some people have called me Marty the Nazi at that time. But I know from my experience, both in my professional life and doing it here at St. Joseph's, that there needs to be a very rigid system in terms of the way we organize ourselves and our luggage before we depart. Otherwise, something's going to get messed up. The bags that are going to be checked need to be kept separate from the bags we're carrying on the airplane, that need to be kept separate from the bags that are the group bags that we're taking along. Well, on this particular pilgrimage, there were some folks who didn't know the system who came along who decided they do the nice thing and help out. And they didn't follow the system. And I knew something was going to go awry, but I didn't know what. We're driving down to Miami to get to the plane, and I realize about halfway down there what had gone awry. The bag that I had packed with 16 days worth of clothes for myself was very secure, locked in the trunk of my car at St. Joseph's. It took me about half of the trip across the ocean to get over this, but what God brought to my heart at that point was this gospel passage. What do I really need to take for the journey? And from a practical perspective, there's a thing called Costco that exists even in Scotland, and a trip there to buy some t-shirts and some underwear and a sweater, and I was good to go for the trip. But with that experience, pilgrimage as a metaphor for our spiritual journey of life gives us the opportunity to look at this gospel today and ask ourselves about the metaphor of our own lives. What are we packing for the journey? And the answer that Jesus gives to the 70 is really the same answer that we are given. We truly don't need a lot of stuff. We really don't need much of anything, save the fact that we are relying on the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of stuff that can get in the way. And all three of the readings today refer to really what we might just call our ego, our self, that can get in the way. Somebody took that word ego and made an acronym out of it that I liked, EGO, edging God out. When we think it's about us, when I think it's about me, I can get God totally removed from the picture. The first reading today, perfect example of this, great story from 2 Kings. I think if somebody would like to make a movie of this thing, it would be a great parody and a funny comedy. Here we have Naaman the Syrian, powerful military leader, He's got leprosy. I think we know enough about leprosy to know how debilitating that would be and what it means for his dismal future. Notice in this story that any of these people who are truly the leaders aren't the heroes of the story. The heroes at the bookends of the story are the slaves, the people who have nothing. But both at the beginning and the end, they're the ones who know the truth. It is the one slave who talks about Elisha the prophet, who's got this gift for healing, who makes that known and sets events in motion so that this person can be healed. Now, Naaman goes, and he finds out that Elisha can do this. So here's this funny part. He takes all of his chariots and his charioteers and all of his stuff, and there is this parade that goes over to Elisha's house. I mean, if we wanted to update that to the 21st century, we would have a police escort. We would have about 5 Mercedes limousines and maybe a little music band to go with it for them to go over for this big show that's going to happen at Elisha's house. So what happens? Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends a messenger out. Tell Naaman, go down to the Jordan, take a bath 7 times, and this leprosy thing will be history. Now you would think Naaman, who knows that his future is over, his life is going to end through this disease, you'd think he'd be overjoyed about this. But he isn't, is he? What does he do? Well, he expects, no, I want Elisha to come out. I want him to call down God and wave his hand over the spot where the leprosy is. He wants a show. He wants this thing to be a big production. It's not so much now about him being healed by God. It's about, I want this to make me look good. Now, we have at the tail end of the story another slave servant who comes into the picture and friends who sort of set him straight. Look, if he had told you that you had to do something a lot more difficult, you'd have done it to get rid of this disease. All he's telling you is go down to the river and take a bath. And he ends up doing that. But there's perhaps a lesson learned that this is about God's power. It's not about my ego. Paul in Galatians brings this out over and over again, and today's no exception. May I never boast of anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't much baggage I need to take with me if I've got that. This is a great gift that is offered. Jesus sends out 70. Symbolic number, important number, 70. In Genesis, 70. That symbolizes all the nations of the world. We know that there's a lot more now, but there's the symbol, 70. The whole world. He's sending them out to the whole world, Luke is telling us. Big mission field. Same thing with Moses. Moses appointed 70 elders to go out, delegating them to share in the mission. The symbolism is there in Luke. And what does Jesus say? The harvest is plentiful. Plentiful. Now go back to Galatians, and where Paul is using that same language and talking about reaping. Well, you have to sow the right stuff if you want to reap. And the sowing he talks about is rely on God, not on ourselves. The harvest is plentiful. You know, this is an important concept for us in the church today. We can think that, well, religion's going to pot. People aren't going to church anymore. But in fact, we live in an age that is the closest age to the age that Jesus lived in. Some of the theologians will call this pre-Christian. We are not in an age where people are rejecting Jesus as much as we're in an age where people don't know about Jesus anymore. You know, you've got a generation of kids who are growing up, and the majority of them, statistics tell us, do not go to church and do not know about Jesus. And they don't do that because their parents did not go to church, and they don't know about Jesus. And now we're to the stage, the parents don't go because their grandparents did not go to church and did not know about Jesus. And in many cases, we are now to the point that the grandparents don't go because their parents, their great-grandparents, four generations worth, pre-Christian days. Now you can look at this as the cup is half empty or half full. What Luke, putting these words in Jesus' mouth today, is telling us is the cup is half full, more than half full. The harvest is plentiful. There is a whole world out there waiting to hear this good news. You know, we were blessed here last month to have the chaos of 400 kids and youth and adults, many of them running around, and I was amazed how many of those kids, when they heard the stories about Jesus, had never heard it before. The harvest is plentiful. We don't have to go far to be in the mission field. If we are doing what Jesus is calling us to do, of getting ourselves out of the way, boasting, sharing this love that Jesus offers and has given to us, what an incredible opportunity we have in this day and age. One of my seminary professors at Fuller, Dallas Willard, used to use always this phrase about the kingdom is now, the kingdom is at hand. And he liked to use the comparison of when he was a little boy growing up and they were first stringing in Texas the electrical utility poles from place to place because they didn't have it there when he was young. And as they're placing it there, the workmen are talking about how wonderful this is going to be with electricity coming because you won't have to do that wringing out of your clothes with the hand washer. You won't have to beat your carpets and everything out to clean them because you've got a washing machine that runs on electricity. And talking about all these wonderful benefits, and yet there were all these people who just didn't believe in electricity. And Dallas says, you know, you might as well have told them electricity is at hand. And they didn't believe. And so too, the kingdom of God is at hand. The opportunities for us are amazing. May we go out into this mission field of Boynton Beach and share God's love because the harvest is plentiful. Amen.